Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. .podbean.com. Fargo Railroad Company, a Southern Rock Americana-inspired four-piece band from Sheffield. Yeah, that's Sheffield, England. And they've been established since 2003 and have gradually been building a loyal fan base. Why? Because, as we've just heard, they're producing some awfully wonderful music. Clearly, they enjoy being on stage. They do a variety of other things, a distinct and united love of music with a breadth of appreciation that is truly eclectic. Just some of the aspects that come through Fargo Railroad. And we're delighted from the Fargo Railroad Company to be able to welcome to the program today the wonderful Jody. How are you, Jody?
I'm good, Alex. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. Now, when I spoke to the wonderful Tony McDonough, and I said, this is most quirky and unusual, an Americana band in Sheffield, he said, oh, they're all over Sheffield. I mean, is Sheffield a kind of hotbed of Americana that I was unaware of until, obviously, the Fargo Railroad Company actually came to offer to the fore?
A little bit. There is a good scene in Sheffield. There really is. We've got about three or four really good, strong Americana promoters. They promote local music as well as getting bands in from abroad and whatnot as well.
Yeah, I mean, for people who are actually listening to this and they might not have even heard the term Americana, they may not have actually benefited from being to some of the major Americana festivals that are actually there. How would you define it, Jody? What is Americana?
Some of it may depend on who you ask. I think it's quite a broad term that takes in a lot of American roots music. So you can, there's bits of the blues in there, there's bits of rock, lots of country, and it's people that are either very much in those stables or are sort of doing a fusion of some of that. That's my understanding of America.
I mean, you reference on your website, of course, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama, of course, fantastic. The Marshall Tucker Band, 38 Special. And then, of course, Cash, Young, Dylan, that's Johnny, Neil and Bob, just in case you're wondering. All kind of, as you said, fused together. What was it that inspired you, Jody, to actually take this line as opposed to saying, we're Sheffield Steel, we're going to do our own Sheffield band? I mean, after all, the Human League were based in Sheffield.
Yeah. I mean, I was brought up on prog rock, really, which I know is a bit left field. But there was a bit of Skynyrd in that. Things like Freebird, my dad had still listened to because it had those wailing solos on the end. It was when I was in my early 20s, I met a guy we ended up being like best mates. And we went down a route of listening to loads of country music. And then I just started getting more and more into it. I was already singing in like an American style from some of the other bands I was listening to, but the whole country and Americana thing sort of started in my early to mid 20s. And I've just, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the storytelling aspect of it and the songs and how they're very lyric central. And I love that. I love that it's very much about the lyrics as much, if not more, than the music. That's what I really enjoy.
Clearly a step away from Heaven 17 and Human League, though, not into electric. Something completely different. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you touched on something there, Judy, which I thought was really significant, and it's something which I think many folk actually say is at the essence of Americana, and that is its storytelling, its narrative, its sharing thoughts, etc. I mean, even the name of your band, of course, Fargo Railroad, Wells Fargo, of course, very much rooted in what we now understand as contemporary America. I mean, without Wells Fargo and the railways, what we now understand as America, for good or ill, would probably not be here.
Indeed. I mean, the name was partly because of that, because obviously a railroad is very much tied into that old America kind of thing. But it was also that my granddad worked on like the old steam engines and whatnot. So I really wanted to make the band a railroad company.
Yeah, I was interested in that because I thought initially, was it because, you know, you've got evidence that Sheffield Steel was actually used to build the American railroads in the same way as obviously you've got steel from Teesside used in the Sydney Bridge in Australia and so on? I mean, was it something on that basis or was it a family connection? And obviously it's the family connection.
It's mainly the family connection.
Yeah,
I do know that steel from Rotherham ended up in New York. I know that they made fire hydrants. Well, that's not Sheffield.
I mean, I'm sure that the Native Americans would be giving thanks to actually know that they sold their island for pennies to ensure that fire hydrants made from Rotherham steel would be actually there. That's a story in itself, though, I'm sure. I'm intrigued, and the website, again, fargorailroad.co, your wonderful 10-question showdown. Who are you?
Oh, my days. We did that a long time ago.
Well, again, if it's out there on the web, people will find it, Jody, and probably
Okay, I'll stand by it.
So, I mean, in terms of that, does the same thing still make you tick today, basically, in terms of the sort of aspects of Fargo Railroad?
Yeah, probably. I haven't read those things in a while. But yeah, it is very much about the music, about the live show, about connecting with people. And this whole situation we're in is not great, but it's made worse by the fact that we can't actually, you know, meet people and get in front of them and win them over and shake their hand afterwards and put a CD in their hand and all that kind of stuff.
And that, as we know, is very much the heart of musicians the globe over, not just in terms of British musicians and so on. It's phenomenal, though, how many people actually come around. I mean, what we're doing now is an example of how, you know, this would normally have been done on a live radio studio feed and we'd be taking various other things in. We've moved on from that point of view. But there are things that can develop. I mean, have you done any online concerts and things? I mean, obviously, your YouTube work is phenomenal.
We have. We've done those bits on YouTube where we all played separate, very much a lockdown thing. Just before lockdown kicked in, we'd just come back off a tour in Spain. And we were rehearsing and we had lots of gigs booked, as everyone did. And then it was all starting to hit. And we had a rehearsal booked, which we went to. And because all our gigs were getting cancelled, we actually live streamed that rehearsal. And that was real fun. There were people asking for songs and making comments. It was great. And then I've also done a solo effort myself, right in the middle of it all. But we're getting back to rehearsing and stuff again now, so which is really great. It's great to be playing the songs again.
All set ready for the second wave, which is fantastic. So it's all good. in terms of, obviously, Punch Drunk, fantastic single from that point of view, Pretty Little White Ones.
Thank you.
Do you have a particular favourite? I mean, or is it a case of, that's like asking an author to choose their favourite book? So they're all favourites.
It sort of depends on the day, really. I mean, they all mean different things to me, but Punch Drunk's a great start. I think that's a great, great live song because, you know, where you hear us going round one, round two, we get all the audience shouting that at us. That's a real fun song live.
And Barroom Band, of course, that's another sort of classic line that comes through.
Yeah, that one's fun. I really like the opener, Bought and Sold. I think that's a great song.
In terms of looking at the sort of the inspiration, I mean, Sheffield's a great place, clearly. It's got a lot of a range of things. You mentioned, obviously, the family connections from there. Do you think Americana has shifted its roots from what we used to hear was very much, I mean, back in the day, I'm sure, you may not be old enough to remember the days where country and Western was basically almost a pejorative term for, if I hear one more Hawaiian guitar, I'm going to shoot that dog now. And then the Western was dropped, it became country music. The last few years in particular, and one of my colleagues, Tessa Snart, runs a weekly podcast. I mean, she would have been joining us for this particular one, but she's already interviewing folk. It's called Country in the Kitchen. And that whole country music scene has really become very popular in Europe. I mean, for a long time, it was kind of seen very much as a thing for the United States, etc. From your own influence, is that something which, I mean, you've cited some of the artists that influence you. Is that something that the storytelling element that is at the heart of country music, at the heart of Americana, is for you the kind of the essence of what it's all about?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, for me, the stuff that I really enjoy, it's because it's got, that there's a lyric that hooked me in, and then something about the song gets me. It's really, I love the focus on lyric
And I've got to actually ask the question because I'm not sure if you're aware, but Tony McDonough, who I mentioned at the start of this piece, a very, very passionate Sheffield Wednesday fan. Are you Wednesday United or neither? I mean, this could be critical to the future sort of PR work that gets done, Jody, but, you know.
Well, I'm actually originally from out Doncaster way.
Ah.
If you had me down on the thumbscrews, I'd probably pledge allegiance to the Rovers.
Of course.
But in the band, we do have one of each when it comes to the Sheffield teams, which makes for some really fun van rides when one team's won and the other one's lost.
Yeah, I would suspect that this season has been particularly interesting in terms of who's been wearing the red and white stripes, who's been wearing the blue and white stripes. But that's
yes, indeed, very different fortunes.
This could act as a stimulus for another tragedy or Americana storytelling song, basically.
Oh yeah, who knows?
Share with us the socials. How can people get in touch with you on Facebook and Instagram and the usual routines? How can people find out more about the fantastic Fargo Railroad Company?
Yeah, you're best on the Facebook or the Instagram. We also keep up to date on the Twitter machine. Sadly, we haven't got a MySpace. We need to look into that.
Oh, I don't know. MySpace is so last decade these days.
Is anyone still on MySpace?
You'll be saying you want Bebo next, and it's just exactly. you're retro, you know. It's there. Or possibly go completely 21st century and go TikTok. No, then again, maybe not.
I need to work out what the heck that TikTok thing is.
I think it's a case of just some things we just humanity is not meant to know. But that's Jody, you've got two final questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer? We used to refer to these as telephonic links, but obviously due to the technology you're saying, has it been an okay Zoomer for yourself today?
Yeah, grand. Yeah.
Good. This is excellent.
This feels like one of those little questionnaires on the end of a sales call.
Customer satisfaction is so important. I mean, it's our equivalent. Is it smiley face? Is it happy? Is it sad face? Yeah, exactly. Did your order arrive on time? Exactly. Thank you. And the next critical question, of course, after we remind people, fargorailroad.co.uk presumably is the best place to go to find out your website.
Indeed.
And in addition to that, we have to ask you the question, Jody, will you be kind enough to return?
Well, on the show?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Excellent. But just wanted to clarify that. Bit of satellite delay there, but what the hey. Jody Davis from the fantastic world of Fargo Railroad Company. Huge thanks.
Thank you so much, Alex.
And we'll fly, or don't, that's fine. And I think I see this ain't about me. For all we are is all we are, and all we do is all we can do. I think we're at a crossroad once again. Wish it was with someone other than my best friends. My head is telling me I have to go. My heart is wishing that it ain't so. So you go left, I'll go right, and I'll catch you in the next life. You go left, I'll go right, and I'll catch you in the next life. Had a good run. You can't say it weren't fun. So why stop there? I know you're in there. Don't walk away. I've still got more to say. You may not want to hear. for you do, I fear. I think we're at a crossroad once again. Wish it was with someone other than my best friends. My head is telling me I have to go. My heart is wishing that it ain't so. So you go left, I'll go right, and I'll catch you in the next light. I'll go right and I'll catch you in the next life. There's more to me than warrior, like a pair of uncrossed stars. Found you in the cold of space. I'll find you again in the exact same place. Cause I can't let you, I won't let you, should I let you go? I can't let you, I won't let you, should I let you go? If it takes an eon or an end to get to you, I ain't done turning the same page on you. So you go left and I'll go right. Sure as day turns into night, I can't let you, I won't let you. Should I let you go? I can't let you, I won't let you. Should I let you go? So you go left and I'll go right.
This UK troubadour is raw at near every note, creating haunting landscapes, and when West summons the guttural growl, it wants to tear at your soul. Not my words, but the words of Global Texan Chronicles, and absolutely spot on, because clearly with the next album, The Next Life, coming up, we're delighted to welcome to the programme now the awesomely wonderful Mike West. How are you, Mike?
Not too bad. Thank you so much for having me, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here, and you know, those very kind words from a Global Texan Chronicle.
It's essential, you know, absolutely essential to the whole thing. Now, you're based in the Wirral, obviously northwest of England. I'm not sure whether you're celebrating Jurgen Klopp's recent success or whether it's a case of, no, I'm more a Tranmere fan, or indeed other side, etc. or not at all.
I'm not a massive football fan, much to the disappointment of my dad, brother-in-law, uncles, and everyone else that seems to be in my family. But, you know, when Liverpool do well, is, you know, it's always cause for celebration, and you know what, people find joy, and you can't like not help but take joy in it as well when people are happy.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that you can't actually have any public celebrations is by the by, but let's not go there. You know, it's a whole new world. As is this interview, which say normally we either do this in the studio, we do it down the line as a phone interview. Here we are, we can actually see each other, which is wonderful, you know, through the media technology and so on. Talk us through the work that you've been doing, and how would you define yourself? Because, I mean, looking at some of the sort of lines that we've had here, Kris Kristofferson, Blind Willie Johnson, Johnny Cash, Howlin' Wolf, etc. Lots of interesting performers, though. I mean, have they all kind of synthesized to form the awesomeness that is Mike West?
I think growing up with like a punk rock and metal background, it was kind of that energy and sound I always gravitated towards. And then I think everyone's like this, as you get older, you kind of develop your own tastes and start trying to discover more music on your own. And I remember when I first listened to Robert Johnson, it was just like a light switch. It was like, came on. And then I found the American recordings of Johnny Cash. And then it was just kind of, I just dug deeper and deeper. And all those performers just have a root of honesty and passion and just unrelenting truth to them. They always knew who they were and what they wanted to be, regardless of whether, you know, Howlin' Wolf is seen as this huge blues figure, but when the electric guitar came around, he hated it, but he still evolved and was true to himself. So those artists I've always seen as massive influences, and in not only musically, but personally as like independent spirits and, you know, people who always earn, have that integrity as an artist, which I think is an important thing to do.
Now, I've listened to the album Next Life. It is fantastic. I mean, absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's a shame to have to select tracks to actually put into to top and tail this piece. But in terms of that, I say it's 3 years since you released an EP called Rusted, which I suppose you could say was that your first kind of attempt to actually produce something, just get something out there, really, and actually start, you know, put it out into the universe.
Yeah, so with Rusted, and it was called Rusted because I was dealing with the fact I wasn't metal anymore. So that's where the title came from. And with, I was about to go on to a tour with this American artist I respect called Sean James. And I knew I'd need to have something tangible to take on tour with me, to sell, to give to fans, to just kind of have a presence there. Because having an album or something physical instantly legitimizes you as an artist. So I knew what I wanted to do, and obviously influenced by Robert Johnson, who was just, he recorded most of his stuff through one mic, one guitar. That was the songs. That was what I did with Rusted. So it was a very raw, like personal EP, just to try and get something out and say, here I am, this is what I'm for. And then with The Next Life, it was literally the next step of how do I take my philosophy and my songs and elevate them to not even a mainstream, maybe, but a more polished, bigger sound that, again, is still true to myself and showing my evolution as a musician.
So Next Life, nothing to do with virtual life or downloading yourself into an avatar and becoming Alt-Mac West, perhaps?
Not yet, but, you know, seeing how far this COVID pandemic goes, if I have to go virtual for any more gigs, I may as well just plug in.
This is true. I'm fascinated by the line alt country. We've said country music has developed and evolved considerably over the last 20, 30 years, arguably since it dropped the and Western, because again, that was something which, you know, people had a very preconceived idea of what country and Western was. And it was usually something that was suddenly, I would say, redneck America. It wasn't necessarily the best sort of things. It wasn't kind of cutting edge, etc. So that's all changed. I mean, whether you actually say, oh yes, well, it's all thanks to Taylor Swift. She's like a gateway drug to country music and so on, or so on. But alt country, talk us through how you define that.
So with alt country, I think what you were just saying about country is an issue in how it's marketed and how a lot of people who aren't country fans are perceived. With, like, if you look at metal, it's such an overarching term, and no one really thinks about that with country, but country is such this wide term that so many things fit under. So you have bluegrass and honky tonk, and alt country, which I call myself, is because, you know, with the rise of the Shires and things like that, Americana seems to be the catch-all phrase for most modern artists. And I would never consider myself an Americana artist, because that seems to be more the mainstream side of things, with Taylor Swift was probably one of the first Americana artists really of this generation. So with alt country, that's more the rockier, grittier side of country that I love, with bands like American Aquarium and Brent Cobb and stuff like that, and kind of taken from that outlaw country, which is dated in the 70s and not really a thing anymore. So alt country is the alternative country that is represented a lot in mainstream, but it's not necessarily the click tracks, pop country or Americana that is. But I think it's the most accurate for what I'm trying to go with, the catch-all that I could.
Is there a kind of sense that both Americana and country and alt country kind of have their roots in folk music? I mean, we go back to the balladeers of the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th century and so on, where the way in which people communicated was through ballads. It was the way, we didn't have print as such. We had sort of ways in which, you know, news was spread via balladeers and so on. Is that something, so in essence, when you're writing an album, when you're writing a track and so on, inevitably you're going to be influenced by the culture that's around you. Is it a way of actually telling stories?
Yeah, 100%. I think obviously folk music coming from Ireland and Scotland with, you know, the instrumentation and everything, that is inherently rooted from like the Appalachian roots of traditional country and bluegrass to alt country. Now the core of folk music is folk, the people and it's a people's music. And I think whether you're doing alt country, blues, or folk music in a traditional sense, it's all a story trying to explain, not even just the human condition, but trying to just make it through a day. And the ballads of old have still influenced a million country acts now, and it's still got a weight and a power to it that is still living through all these different genres.
Who are your own special influences, Mike? Who are the kind of people who, you know, when it comes to another day of working in a virtual world, doing a whole bank of Zoom interviews and so on, you thought, I'm going to put on some X, Y, Z now. Who would you go for?
There's a lot of modern artists now that I consider contemporary influences, because when I first started writing these songs, it would be, you know, I don't really know anyone that sounds like this, so will there be a market for it? And then I found artists like Sean James, who I was lucky enough to tour with, Amigo the Devil, who's a more murder folk artist from America, who's a brilliant guy. I toured with him in February. And then there's, you know, there's an amazing bunch of UK artists coming out now, like Josh Bettis from Wales. He's an amazing traditional country singer who's a huge influence on what we're trying to do now. Kings and Queens are an Australian folk duo, and they're who I'm really listening to now, along with the Spanish bluegrass thrash band, Moonshine Wagon. There's so many great bands now that they're who I'm mainly listening to. And then obviously I'm going back to John Prine, Kris Kristofferson, Johnny Cash, and Jason Isbell, Sturgill Simpson, and just kind of mixing them all together and throwing in a bit of Dead Kennedys while I'm at it.
Always good. I love the way sort of Kristofferson and Cash in particular, you almost see them as like the godfathers, the grandfathers of our kind of contemporary scene, because in both areas that they really kind of managed to channel their emotions, I think, channel the angst of the time. And, you know, people say, yeah, I mean, admittedly, you look at the political leaders of America, the USA, and Britain, and you tend to think, seriously, where are we going with respect to this one? That's somewhere where I think musicians like yourself can really provide that alternative voice in many ways. And is that something else that, you know, sometimes without being overtly political, that alt country can at least kind of capture that essence of what it is to be around in the third decade of the 21st century, coping with the things we cope with?
I think so. Even if you look at folk artists like Woody Guthrie, he was a political artist. You know, This Machine Kills Fascists was written on the side of his guitar. Johnny Cash wrote songs like The Ballad of Ira Hayes. Kris Kristofferson wasn't shy about politics. And I think alt country and folk singers, you know, even like Beans on Toast, the UK folk singer, there's a lot of people who aren't shy or want to shy away from these issues. And I'm one of those, because I've written political songs called like Nuke Song, talking about nuclear disarmament. I try and maintain a current perspective on things. And I think the whole argument about shut up and sing that a lot of people have with musicians, I think it's weird how you want to hear a musician's opinion on, you know, death or alcoholism or hometowns, but the second they want to talk about politics, that's when you tell them to shut up and sing. Well, what do you want them to shut up and sing about?
Maybe you should actually do a little song for the current president of the United States, because I gather that Donald is feeling lost and alone now. He doesn't seem to have any friends. Nobody really likes him. I don't know why, but, you know, it's just by the by.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Not country enough, not blues enough, not folk enough, too heavy. Love that sort of tongue-in-cheek aspect of the whole thing. Is that really a kind of classic way of actually saying, look, I'm a musician first and foremost, don't pigeonhole me?
Yeah, that was, you know, a few people had told me that when I do country festivals or country gigs or folk shows, people would come up to me like, oh, you know, I really like that, but it was a bit too heavy. You know, you're not country enough. And I get that in emails and things. And I was like, that is a badge of pride for me. It's like, I'm so lucky that I get to play with rock acts. I get to play with folk and Americana acts. I get to play with a whole wide spectrum of people, because my type of music is honest. It's unrelenting, and it appeals to a group of people that, you know, it's not a mainstream appeal, but if someone gets it, I really think they get it, which is, you know, as a musician, that's all you can hope to do.
Mike, I know this can be a bit like asking an author to choose their favorite books, or indeed a parent to choose their favorite offspring, but give me two tracks from the next life that you particularly like to sort of bracket this particular interview. What would you go for?
I think Away I Go, which is track 5 from The Next Life, is, you know, I think that's really, from my perspective, that's one of my favorite songs, just because it's one of my most honest. And then I think either Rock Ferry, which is track 7, which is about my hometown on the Wirral, or track 8, which is For Them, which I wrote for my group of friends that I've grown up with. So I'd say Away I Go and Rock Ferry to pick two of my favourites.
And obviously not to be confused with Ferry Cross the Mersey, which inevitably obviously has its roots back in the day of Jerry and the Pacemakers.
It does, or the Rock Ferry single by Duffy as well. I've been getting that a fair bit.
And I mean, that's something, certainly in terms of Merseyside, I mean, the 60s in particular was a huge explosion of talent there. And ever since, I think there's been a resonance that echoes in yourself, basically. What is it about Merseyside that kind of brings to the fore? I mean, is it the mixture of Irish and kind of mainland English styles, that kind of fusion, the fact that it's a port as a city? Mm. Is it all those kind of things? Because I think critics and music writers have kind of tried to wrestle with that one for years. So I'm not necessarily asking for a definitive answer, but just, you know, as somebody who's kind of like in the heart of it.
I think Liverpool is a melting pot in terms of cultures and styles. And I think one of the lucky things that I've grown up with and realized from coming from Merseyside is the sense of identity you have from this area is like just inherent. It's in your roots, it's in your veins, and you know who you are and where you're from for an early age. And to be fair, that's puts you at opposition to the rest of the country. Sometimes I've been touring and people have, you know, made Liverpool jokes and Scouser jokes, and you just kind of have to nod along with it.
I've gone through the whole interview without saying calm down once, Mike. So I think I'm, you know.
Exactly. But that's the kind of, you know, inherent viewpoint that the rest of the country has, while Liverpool is kind of, you know, more outward facing and knows who it is. And I think as a musician, if you know who you are, that's half the battle. Like, this is probably going to get me in trouble, but I'm not a Beatles fan in any way, shape or form. So my music has kind of been not in spite of that influence, but alongside and trying to differentiate from what the Merseybeat sound was of the 60s and show that Liverpool isn't just this one trick pony. You know, it's got a thriving punk scene. The songwriters coming out of this, like Katie Mack and Seafoam Green, are phenomenal. And there's such an amazing amount of musicians and cultures and influences that come from this area that I don't think really either get the recognition they deserve or the platform they deserve over the legacy of Liverpool, which I think can be a shame.
Where can people get in touch with you with respect to the usual social media, Mike? Or is it a case of, I don't bother with your Instagrams or such like, I still like to nod the direction of MySpace?
Well, I think, you know, the musicians who are saying I don't bother with social media and then the pandemic hit, it's like, well, are you gone now? So I've really embraced, because I'm a younger person, you know, I'm only 29. I love, you know, I'm addicted to my phone. So if you follow me on mike333west.com, that'll take you through to my Spotify, iTunes, Instagram, Twitter.
And I have to say, I'm very impressed, because I wasn't sure whether we'd have to, as we've done with previous interviewees, no names, but we've sometimes had to talk them down, phone them up, give them a passcode, actually work through that. You were there. You were actually sorted out for the Zoom meeting spot on, which is very impressive. That's great.
Well, I'm a podcaster as well, so all this is second nature to me.
All good. So in terms of that, where can people hear your podcasts?
So my podcast, again, it is on Spotify, iTunes, Acast. I have a Linktree. So if you go to Linktree, Mike333 West, that'll have literally, you can pre-order The Next Life. You can go to all my social medias. You can find my podcast Into the Van on every platform that you can get podcasts on. And it's all in one website for you.
Fantastic. Two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today? We used to say phoner, but in deference to the medium we're using, has it been an okay Zoomer for you, Mike Weiss?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been really fun.
Then the next critical question, I have to say, very nice background, Mike. I'm very impressed with the posters you've got there. It's always nice to have a visual side of things there. It's almost as though you've got a, you know, kind of wonderful studio setup, and it's not egg boxes, it's not sort of soundproofing thing, it's posters. Genius.
Yeah, that's every poster from gigs I've played, and I've managed to salvage a poster, because I want to, you know, treasure and cherish what gigs I've done and acknowledge my successes, which isn't, you know, a modest thing to do, but it's a nice little reminder when I'm feeling low or doubtful.
Absolutely. So therefore, the next question, Mike, final one, is can we look forward to featuring you again in the not too distant future? Will you come back and join us sometime?
Oh, 100%, anytime.
Two thumbs up from that point of view. I think we'll take a rock ferry now.
I'm not not ashamed of where I'm from, but I ain't exactly proud that your mother on the corner, I think, used to hang around. But as I've gotten older, I forgot some purpose, rest I forgot with time. Goddamn class of 07, wasted you branded lives. I'll make it out if it kills me, I'll see the eyes. Drive through this memory of what a town's supposed to be. Boarded houses, broken windows, reflecting parts of me. This is where I was born, but it's not where I'll die. That's the funny thing about life, that is.